Praise the Lord. Let's open our Bibles this morning to 1 John chapter 1. We'll be looking at verses 5 through 7 today. If you're using the Church Bible, you'll want to turn to page 862. We're continuing in our series on 1 John, a short but deep letter that the Holy Spirit gave to us through the pen of the Apostle John, with the overarching themes throughout the letter of God's light and love and life in Christ. The Apostle John begins his letter with a prologue in chapter 1, verses 1 through 4, which we explored over the past few Sundays. In that prologue, John mentions a number of times that he's got a message from the Lord to give to us. This morning, we're going to discover exactly what that message is as we move from the prologue to the body of the letter. I'll be using the ESV throughout the message today, so you might find a few small translation differences if you're using the NIV or some other translation. Are we ready to open God's Word? Are we ready to dig in? Let's go. This is the message that I was speaking about in the prologue. The message we have heard from Him, Jesus, and proclaim to you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say, oh, we have fellowship with Him, while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. That's the Lord's word for us this morning. Let's pray and be open to what the Holy Spirit has for us. Lord, we do thank You for this message. This message that comes from You. We ask, Lord, that You would fill Your insufficient servant with Your sufficiency as he unfolds that message this morning. And may we all experience Your word in action in our hearts and in our walk. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Two roads diverged in a yellow wood. And sorry I could not travel both and be one traveler, long I stood and looked down one as far as I could to where it bent in the undergrowth. Then took the other, having perhaps the better claim, because it was grassy and wanted wear. Oh, I kept the first for another day, but knowing how way leads on to way, I doubted if I should ever come back. I shall be telling this with a sigh, somewhere ages and ages hence. Two roads diverged in a wood, and I took the one less traveled by. And that has made all the difference. This poem by Robert Frost speaks of a choice that we all make. As we journey through life, each one of us makes the choice of which road to take. Two roads diverged before us. 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 through 7 shows us the two roads. One, the road of darkness. The other, the road of light. And as we stand here this morning at the divergence of the two roads, pondering which one to take, we hear this message from Jesus. This is the message, John says, we've heard from Jesus. And proclaim to you that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. John and the other apostles spent 3 years with Jesus as his disciples. And here in 1 John 1:5, John is saying, this is the message that we disciples heard from Jesus during our 3 years with him. And now we're passing this message on to you. So here's the message that Jesus spoke to us that now we're passing on to you. Here's what Jesus said to us. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. And so John is giving us a summary in his own words, inspired by the Holy Spirit, a summary of what Jesus taught his disciples. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. Now, if you're one who marks your Bible or underlines your Bible or highlights your Bible, mark or underline or highlight, God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. Because this is the Apostle John's summary of Jesus' message to his disciples during his 3 years of earthly ministry. John is taking all the teaching of Jesus over the 3 years of his earthly ministry and gathering all the teaching of our Lord into this one summary statement. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. Now, like all summaries, this summary leaves out a lot. Still, it sums up the message that Jesus spoke to his disciples, which John now proclaims or passes on to us. God is light. What does this mean, particularly as opposed to darkness? Well, there are a number of possibilities. I'll mention just three. One is that, well, in Scripture, light can be a metaphor for truth and darkness a metaphor for error. And then another possibility, light can be a metaphor for revelation and darkness a metaphor for ignorance. Still another possibility, light can be a metaphor for ethical goodness and moral righteousness, darkness a metaphor for ethical evil and moral sin. We find that in another writing from John, his gospel, Chapter 3, verses 19 through 21, and this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and people love the darkness rather than the light because their works were evil. Notice the association of darkness with evil, ethical evil. For everyone who does wicked things, there it is again, hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his works should be exposed. But whoever does what is true comes to the light so that it may be clearly seen that his works, morally good works, have been carried out in God. So there we have it. Now, of these biblical metaphors for light and darkness, which one is emphasized in 1 John chapter 1, verse 5? Well, if you scan through the following verses quickly, you'll notice that sin is emphasized in this verse's context all the way through chapter 2, verse 2. So then, in 1 John 1:5, light is ethical goodness and moral righteousness. And darkness is ethical evil and moral sin. And so 1 John 1:5 is telling us, God is light in that he is ethically righteous, ethically good, morally righteous. And there is no darkness, there's no ethical evil, there's no moral sin in God. That's the message. Now, the Greek text of the final clause literally reads, in him is no darkness, none. That's how it reads in the original text. In him is no darkness, none. Professor David Allen, a New Testament professor, puts it this way. In him is no shade, speck, or stain of moral imperfection. In him is no fault, failure, or falsehood. In him is no deceit, deviation, or dishonesty. In him is no darkness, none. God is light, pure light, unadulterated light, completely good, completely righteous. Think of the implications for our lives for a few moments. It's been said that we want not a heavenly father, but a heavenly grandfather. One who winks at our sin. One who indulges our disobedience. One who accepts our excuses. We want a God who can be bargained with, bribed, and bought off. But at the end of the day, our fellowship with God is based on the character of God. And God is light. Completely good ethically, fully righteous morally, holy, 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 and in him is no darkness, none, no speck, no shade, speck, or stain of moral imperfection, none. In him is no fault, failure, or falsehood, none. In him is no deceit, deviation, or dishonesty, none. And this is the God we yearn to be close to. This is the God with whom we seek fellowship. No winking at sin, no indulging disobedience with this God. Because God is pure light. Pure light. Unadulterated light. Holy, holy, holy. Fully good ethically. Completely righteous morally. In him is no darkness. None. And so then, this is the God we seek. Pure light. And this presents us with a choice. We all have a choice. It's a choice that will determine the direction of our lives, the choice that will impact our eternal destinies. A choice. It's a choice that we have as we stand at the divergence of those two roads. The two roads diverge in a wood before us. We cannot travel both and be one traveler. We must choose to walk either the one or the other. And they diverge so rapidly that we cannot straddle both for long. We must choose between one or the other. What if we choose the road of darkness, but we still want to be close to God? What if we claim fellowship with God while choosing to walk in the darkness? What if we claim to have a relationship with God? Oh, things are just fine between me and God. Well, at the same time, we're walking in patterns of intentional, ongoing sin for from which we do not repent. What if? John tells us, if we say we have fellowship with Him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. If you've been here over the past couple of Sundays, you know that John wrote this letter to refute and counter false teachers who were infiltrating the churches that he was overseeing. And here John is refuting the false teachers who are saying that our spirit matters, but our body doesn't matter. So our spirit can have fellowship with God regardless of what we do with our body. So we can go ahead and sin all we want with our body, engage in any sinful bodily indulgence you want that won't affect our fellowship with God, because it's our spirit, not our body, that matters. Well, that's the position of the false teachers whom John is confronting. In other words, they are saying we can have fellowship with God spiritually while we walk in darkness bodily. Let's not be too smug about ourselves. Let's not say, you know, I'm not like those false teachers. Because we become like those false teachers when we try to live microwave dinner lives. You know some of these microwave dinners you can get when your spouse is out of town? You know, a lot of them come with separate compartments for separate food items. Believe me, I know whereof I speak. And so you've got your delicious turkey in one compartment, then totally isolated from that, except the ice that's spreading from the mashed potatoes to the turkey, you've got your mashed potatoes in another separate compartment, isolated from the turkey. And then those peas, you got these peas way over here set off from the turkey and the mashed potatoes in their own isolated little box. The microwave dinner is compartmentalized with each food item in its own separate compartment so that it doesn't touch the other food items. Oh no, we can't have my potatoes touching my peas. Sometimes we try to live microwave dinner lives so I can have my spiritual life here in his own separate little compartment and having nothing to do with my family life, which is in its own little isolated compartment, separated from my spiritual life, which in turn is separated from my work life over here, so that my work life doesn't touch my spiritual life either. And we live these microwave dinner lives with different aspects of our lives in their own isolated, separate compartments, one having nothing to do with the other. So over here in my spiritual life, I can be good with God while neglecting my family, because that's in an isolated little compartment separate from my spiritual life. And I can be dishonest at work because that's a whole other little compartment separated from my spiritual life. You see, when we compartmentalize our lives like that, while claiming to have fellowship with God, oh, things are good over here in my spiritual life, then we are walking in darkness. So let's not compartmentalize our lives like those microwave dinners. Let's live lives like chicken pot pie. You know, in a chicken pot pie, all the food items are mixed together. So the flavors blend, and the fork scoops up chicken and peas at the same time. Likewise, my relationship with God and my interactions with my family and my behavior at work all blend together. Chicken pot pie. So I cannot be in fellowship with God who is light if I'm walking in darkness and my family interactions and my work behaviors, because they all blend together, and what I do with my family and how I behave at work has a direct bearing on the flavor of my walk with God. So then, what if we claim fellowship with God while choosing to walk in the darkness? The Holy Spirit gives John some pretty blunt words. We lie. If we say we have fellowship with Him, oh, things are good between me and God over here, while we walk in darkness here and here, we lie. We lie. If we walk in darkness of ongoing patterns of intentional sin, so that we cherish the sin, we look forward to committing the sin rather than repenting from it, then we lie about being in fellowship with the God who is pure life, in whom is no darkness, none. We lie subtly. We try to hide the lie. One way we lie is by renaming the sin so that it doesn't seem so bad. I'm not committing virtual adultery by watching porn videos. I'm just relieving stress. I'm not a shoplifter. I'm a cost of living adjustment specialist. You know, we lie by renaming the sin so that it doesn't seem so bad. And when we do that, we make light of the sin, and Scripture warns us about that. Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness. Now, speaking a lie leads to living a lie. And so, when we claim to have fellowship with God while choosing to walk in the darkness, we don't do the truth. That's exactly what the Word is telling us through the Apostle John. If we say we have fellowship with God while we walk in darkness, we do not practice the truth. Greek literally reads, we do not do the truth. You see, truth is not just something to know. Truth is not just something to believe. Truth is also something to do, to practice, to live. And walking in darkness is itself the lie. Walking in darkness is the untruth in action, the untruth in practice. So if we claim to have fellowship with God, we claim to be close to God while choosing to walk in darkness, we lie and we don't do the truth. You see, talk and walk go together in the Christian life, just like peas and chicken and chicken pot pie. It all goes together, the talk and the walk. Yes, we are saved by faith alone. We affirm that. We're saved by faith alone. But not by faith that is alone. We can't store it away in its own little compartment. We need to do the truth. Yes, we're saved by faith, not by works, yet saving faith works. And so if my lifestyle does not match my claim to be in fellowship, in relationship with the God who is light, then something is amiss in my Christian life. There's a huge truth gap between cheap talk and authentic walk. Well, what about authentic walk? That other road that we can take. What if we choose to walk in the light as God is in the light? What if we profess to have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ, and our walk actually matches our talk? What if the flavor of my profession of Christ and my walk in Christ are mixing with one another? First John 1:7. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Notice we read in verse 5, God is light. And in verse 7, we read, God is in the light. God is in the light because he's always true to himself. His actions are always consistent with his nature. So because he is light, he is also in the light. Let's walk with him in the light. Let's walk in a lifestyle that is godly and pure and holy. Let's learn the teaching of grace, which teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled and upright and godly lives in this present age while we wait for the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people of his very own, eager to do what is good. That's the walk. That's the walk. Now, we battle our sin nature daily. Paul calls it our flesh. We're in daily warfare against the world and the flesh and the devil. And a lifestyle that is pristinely godly, pure and holy, awaits our entrance into heaven. But we can walk in increasing likeness to that light now, by yielding our hearts to the Holy Spirit as he shapes us increasingly into the likeness of Christ. How do we walk in the light? The psalmist says to the Lord, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." When we read the Bible, the Bible reads us, showing us where we are walking wrongly so that we can make the proper course correction. And in that way, those who walk in the light are not sinless, but they sin less. When we walk in the light, we enjoy two results. Just as there were two results for walking in the darkness, there are two results of walking in the light. One result is that we have mutual fellowship. As the word says, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. Now, at first, we don't expect that. We expect the word to say we have fellowship with God. But it says we have fellowship with one another. It's not just to keep us awake. There's a reason for the surprise. You see, when we are walking in the light, we are thereby already having fellowship with God. To have fellowship with God is to walk in the light. To walk in the light is to have fellowship with God. So if we walk in the light, that's the same way as saying if we have a fellowship with God, because God is in the light, we already have fellowship with God, and that fellowship with God leads to fellowship with one another. And so John writes, we have fellowship with one another. In other words, we have a common participation with one another based on our fellowship with God as we walk in the light to see us in the light. Now, light shines into the darkness to expose our sin. You open a dark closet and the light shines in to expose what's been in the closet. Something stinky, no doubt. When we are walking in the light, hidden sins are illumined. They are brought to light. And that leads to the second result that we enjoy when we walk in the light. We receive cleansing from Christ. As the Holy Spirit puts it through the pen of the Apostle John, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. And the Greek text indicates that this is not just a one-time cleansing. Christ's sacrifice on the cross was a once-for-all, one-time sacrifice. But in the Greek text, the cleansing is a continual cleansing from sin in the life of a believer. For we need constant cleansing until we are perfected in the realms of glory. And oh, what a day that will be. You see, the abiding graces of Christ's once-for-all sacrifice on the cross are poured again and again and again and again into our lives day by day, moment by moment. And we need that. For you see, those who walk in the light despair of themselves. Those who walk in the light are gripped by their ongoing need for cleansing. And the blood of Jesus is able to cleanse us every single time we light walkers sin. For as our every sin defiles us, so the blood of Jesus cleanses us. What can wash away my sin? Some of you know the old hymn, say it. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. How much sin? The blood of Jesus cleanses us from how much sin? All sin. Wow. Oh, the fullness of our cleansing in the blood. All sin. All our sins of thought and word and deed cleansed. All our sins of committing the wrong we ought not to have done and omitting the good we ought to have done washed clean away. The blood of Jesus daily cleanses us from sins of breaking God's law, ignoring his word, and profaning his name. From sins of hardness of heart and coldness of soul and selfishness of will. Cleansed. Brothers and sisters, there's a fountain. There's a fountain. There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains. Lose all their guilty stains. So let's turn to him in repentance and faith, and walk in the light as he is in the light, and lose all our guilty stains. So, two roads diverge before us, and we have a choice. We can choose one or the other, but not both. They diverge too much for us to straddle for long. We can either walk the road of darkness or the road of light. And one's most important question for the journey of life is, which walk will I choose? Which road will I take? Let's remember that God himself is pure light. And so let's walk in the light, as God is in the light. Let's take the road less traveled by. That will make all the difference. Amen. Let's pray. Lord God, you are awesome. For you are light, pure light. There is no darkness in you, no darkness, none. Teach us to walk in the light as you are in the light. That having fellowship with you, we might also have fellowship with one another in the blood of Jesus. May cleanse us from every sin, all sin. Lord, by the Christ-shaping molding of the Holy Spirit within our hearts, may the gap between our talk and our walk increasingly narrow. Until our talk is holding hands with our walk, because they are so close to each other that they are able to do so. As we make our way down that road of light, as light walkers on our way to glory, in Christ's name we pray.